Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we're talking about the In the City season finale, as well as the latest drama between Shamia and Portia from The Real Housewives of Atlanta with Kiki Monique. Kiki does many things online. She runs the really popular Instagram page, The Talk of Shame. She co-hosts Reality Checked on SiriusXM's Radio Andy with Dorinda Medley. You've seen her stuff. Obviously, she popped up on last season of The Real Housewives of Orange County. And she just really knows her stuff. And, you know, with the In the City finale being dramatic and a big moment, as well as what's going on in Atlanta, I wanted somebody who knew what they were talking about. And again, I'm really liking the season of Atlanta. I've talked about that a lot. But the Shamia and Portia situation in particular, I felt has been really layered. And we've gotten more updates outside of the show. So, we got deep into that first, and I'm really glad that we did that because, again, it's really complex and it's tough to watch, but also I feel pretty strongly one way about it as well. So I'm going to keep it short up top here today. I'm going on vacation on Sunday for a couple weeks with my family, but I will still have episodes coming out as usual, 2 to 3 times a week, pre-scheduled, but also recording while I'm out there as well. So keep listening for my chat all about In the City and The Real Housewives of Atlanta with Kiki Monique. Listen to her on Reality Checked on SiriusXM's Radio Andy every weekday. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. All right. Today we're gabbing with Kiki Monique. She is the host of Reality Check on SiriusXM's Radio Andy with Dorinda. Kiki, thanks so much for being here. Always great to see you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Just trying to keep up with all of our programs, you know?
I know. And all of the like natural disasters happening around us. I heard that the Ontario fires are affecting you. I didn't realize it was reaching New York.
Last night it was like kind of, you could kind of smell it and feel it. And like this morning it's way worse. Like it's like, the air is terrible. And then also we can't eat lettuce because it's going to give us diarrhea. And then it's just like, what's next?
And then wake up to flooding. No, WeHo is flooding. I had to check on all my gays. I think this is like in the Bible. I don't know where this is like aligning with the apocalypse, but I think we're close.
It's really funny because I feel like just 1 week ago, the vibes were like, New York summer, like everyone's watching sports and loving life. And now it's like, all right, the world's ending. So things turn on a dime. So we're going to talk about Atlanta and In the City today. And for Atlanta, I feel like really what we need to focus on is the Shamia and Portia situation. What's sort of like your overall, we'll get into the minutiae of it, but what is sort of like your overall feeling about how that's playing out?
I'm really sad, but also not surprised because obviously being in this space, I think about it a lot. And I think about going on a reality show and how I could never actually have my true friends on a show like Housewives because I know the formula it takes. And I love my friends too much to put them through that, you know, or even put myself through that. And so, you know, I have mixed emotions about it because on one hand, I do feel for Portia. She built Atlanta. She really, you know, she is the essence of Atlanta. So many of the women are, but she is a core piece of it. And I understand how having a friend sort of come into it would make me feel some type of way. I think I would too. So I think there is some truth to maybe she didn't want Shamia there, but I don't think it was all nefarious. Why? I think it's because she also understands the formula of Housewives and did not want their friendship to do exactly what we're seeing play out now.
That's really, that's really well said. It's like it's, I do believe some of that too, that some of those conversations have been had about whether she should be there. But I do think just like Shamia is arguing that she didn't bring up some of the stuff last year about the moms to protect what they had, I think that Portia maybe not wanting Shamia around on in this environment was also to protect that. I do wish she would admit that. I wish she would be a little bit more forthcoming about like maybe why she might be that way. But it's interesting because, you know, the show, this episode, like reminded us that Shamia has had issues with almost everybody on the cast other than Kelly this season. She's really been kind of digging her graves with each person. And we have this conversation where Kay, Michelle, and Pinky are like, you know, we fucked with Shamia at first, but like something has changed midway through this time in this group. They don't really pinpoint what they think it is. I'm curious if a change happened in Shamia, what that was.
I think it was partially because Shamia has been on the fringes of this friend group for so long and watched the show and seen how the people, I think she thought she knew how the sauce was made. And when she came into it, I believe she also thought she was maybe already a housewife before she was. And so I think that combination of things led her to having a really good first season as a full-time housewife, but then a really bad second season because I think she flew too close to the sun.
Right. And even like, you know, Kelly and Portia, they had that really emotional kind of group conversation in the previous episode in their room. And I thought that was really genuine. I thought that they sort of had a breakthrough with, I think, not just them two, but sort of that whole group of people on that bed. And I really liked that part. And, you know, they come down to breakfast the next morning and it's all good between Kelly and Portia kind of all of a sudden. And Shamia is questioning kind of the genuineness of that. And also like, if they can make up, why can't Portia make up with me? And I think even her just not even understanding, like, you do have to move forward. You do have to find a way to like keep it going kind of points to your point, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I think some of the newer housewives have thought that building alliances is the way you stay on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what happens because it builds a wall. We've seen it happen in too many of these franchises. You can't build that wall. And Portia is a seasoned housewife. She knows we're going to push it. Then we have to move over that hump. Then we have fun together. And then we create something else. And so Shamia didn't get that note in all of the being around housewives. She didn't
and
pick
also,
that one up.
The implication keeps being that like Portia's like still holding this grudge. Like they agreed to move forward, but Portia doesn't really have any intention of moving forward. And like, again, I think there's probably some truth in there from Portia's side. I don't think Portia's like, you know, all feeling all hunky-dory about Shamia and wanting to be best friends again. But also like Shamia's kind of hiding her hands too, because she didn't invite Portia to Gerald's birthday party like a few episodes ago. Like, so she's not exactly like extending an olive branch all the time to Portia, trying to get back to where they were, you know, like I think they're both to blame in some respects to where they've gotten to.
Absolutely. And I talked about this with Dorinda on Reality Check. Shamia missed the window. You know, if Shamia was holding on to a lot of these grudges, and in first season, she alluded to him. It felt like we were alluding to it. We were dancing around it. You either have to go there or not. And at the reunion, when Portia essentially broke it all down, talked about the daycare and, you know, that was the moment Shamia could have chosen to say, well, no, because your mom tried to sleep with my dad. That would have been the moment. And then we would all been shock and awe. We'd have been like, oh, my God. And then we would have moved on to season two. You can't come around to season two, bring it up. Because now we have moved on and now it just looks like you're a grudge holder and now it feels weird.
And it gets to what Portia says at the very end of the episode after Shamia has stormed out at the dinner. She's like, I've seen it in her eyes. It's the same look that I have felt from other people who have wished me ill will in the past. It's that same look. And I kind of agree with her. Like I wasn't really buying Shamia's story of like, I want us to be good. I want us to get back to what we were. There was a vibe and a look, and I it's hard to explain it, but I saw what Portia was saying there, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I try not to hold grudges, but I'll admit I'm the first. There's certain people I just can't move forward with. It's hard. And when I see them, of course, in the back of my mind, I have all these things I want to say, but how crazy would I look, right? Like, this is something that happened 2 years ago. Like, imagine if I brought up, it, you know, and then to put that on a public platform, it never plays well.
Or even to kick off the season, it was like, I forget the exact situation, but like a text exchange was brought up that Portia and Shamia had, and it was like really strongly worded text exchange, but they wouldn't say what it was. You know, they wouldn't, usually they would show a screenshot on the show of like what this exchange was off camera. They wouldn't talk about it. And I'm like, we can't have these like elusive, like I don't know. It's just like, we had to get into this particulars. And if you want, but you saying she missed the window is like so fucking on point. Like, it's like, she was sitting on this for a rainy day and she had the intention of bringing it up at some point.
Exactly. And I think there was still the You know, I think if Portia had known where Shamia was planning to go to, she would have revealed a lot more. She was holding back because she truly was like, I don't want to bring this out because if I do, I'm going to go scorched earth. And at the end of the day, Portia is still the fan favorite, right? You're Shamia, people know you, but we've known Portia for a long time, since I'm talking Underground Railroad times, you know.
265.
We are loyal to her, you know, to a fault sometimes. And so, yeah, she didn't want to go there with you because she knew the pile on was not going to be good.
Yeah.
And we see it. Shamia is in a Sprinter van crying her eyes out. But
in some ways, I think she is crying over the friendship and like sort of the loss, but I also think she's sort of crying because she's a little bit embarrassed and it didn't go the way that she always wanted it to go. You know, she has her backup in Kelly, but that's the only person who's backing her up here because she went solo. And I agree that Portia never would have taken it there. I don't think that Portia ever wanted to involve them. And there's been people remember Portia posting on her Instagram story, which is alluded to in this episode. She said that Shamia's mom had done something egregious. And people are like, oh, well, Portia's the first one to bring up the moms. Well, there's a clip going around of Shamia actually alluding to it first in a conversation with Cynthia from last season. So really, Shamia was sort of the first one to, she didn't get in particulars, but she alluded to it and kind of sparked that interest in what went down between the moms.
Which makes it feel like you had an agenda from the very beginning, like you just, it has been bothering you for so long and you just wanted it out there. And, you know, look, I get it. Friendships are weird, especially friendships that started when you were very young and probably in a competitive place where, you know, and I feel like in her real life, Shamia probably feels like she wins a lot, right? Like she has probably the more successful marriage, whereas Portia has been through, you know, a few marriages. It seems like he's very wealthy. And but this is Portia's world. In Portia's housewife world, she's the winner. And I think that is not sitting well with Shamia.
Totally. And like Shamia had obviously appeared on the show before in a friend capacity. And like in this world, and I think maybe in some of their friendship, maybe growing up, it really feels like it was Portia was sort of the star, vivacious, like taking up a lot of oxygen in the room kind of person. And Shamia was sort of like the sidekick kind of person. And like that's a lot of friendships kind of fall into those forms. And it's hard to get out of that, especially as you said, when like this is really Portia's domain. And I think there's a world in which Shamia could have gotten her peach last season and she could have come in and not tried to like knock Portia off the pedestal. But I feel like Shamia had so much to prove, but she didn't actually have to do that in this way. But she kind of chose that direction for herself on this show in the past two seasons. It was never really going to end well. But I'm just thinking of like an alternate universe where like their friendship didn't fall out last season, you know, because Shamia didn't. There's like a prideful sort of ego part of this in a big way, I think. It's tough, man.
It is tough. And I think that, you know, obviously, I am very much part of the voices online that probably contribute to what a lot of these housewives read.
Yeah.
And I think it's to their detriment sometimes because, you know, we talk a lot about like, oh, you know, I'm talking about the voices online. They're like, well, when a new person comes in, they have to knock off the queen bee. That's sort of said. I don't agree with that, you know, but it is something. So I do wonder if these housewives, these newer housewives, they get in the comment section, they start thinking through these strategies, people start getting in their ear and they're like, you know, the way you're going to make it on the show, because everyone on the show is an alpha, you got to knock Portia off her pedestal, you know, and you get in your head.
It's also, nobody plays the long game anymore. You know, if that was ultimately going to be Shamia's goal, do that in two or three seasons. You know, it's too big of a swing. And also like in the grand scheme of things, Portia was the centerpiece of this soft reboot for Atlanta, you know, with alongside Kenya. But like, she's the centerpiece here, you know, and we're all orbiting around her right now. It is an ensemble show, but this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard. And BetterHelp's latest research confirms it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe that getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. One way to close that gap and fight the stigma around mental health support is to be open about your own positive experience in seeking help, to encourage your loved ones to do the same and experience those same benefits. Because really, the numbers do speak for themselves. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists, making it the world's largest online therapy platform. It has served over 6 million people globally and boasts an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, which is based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. So the dinner in Edinburgh, the Shamia Portia part kicks off with Shamia basically getting in there and she's like, I heard that you don't want your daughter around me. Dennis told Gerald this. You know, I thought we were family, you used to consider me a sister. And Portia's like, I mean, yeah, that's all true. Like when I'm in a bad place with somebody, I don't want my daughter around that person. Not that I don't think she was like saying there was any sort of like actual like worry. It's just sort of like, it's kind of like a vibes thing. You know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
why would she be around her?
Yeah. I mean, even if there was talk around that was happening in her child, you never know. Kids hear everything.
Totally.
There's a poison that can exist when you are not in a good place with a person. So why would you, you know, put your child in that environment? I think anyone would agree with that. Shamia would agree with that. Let's be real.
Then it becomes about, obviously, we talked about Portia not wanting Shamia on the show, or her thinking that, Portia denying that. They do the clip of Portia at the reunion last season, having Andy confirm that, you know, she has been advocating for her behind the scenes. There's been another clip online that has surfaced from Kenya's YouTube channel. I don't know if you've seen this. It's from like a couple years ago, you know, but she basically is confirming that like Portia didn't want Shamia around. And that, again, this is my biggest grievance with Portia in this whole situation, because I'm just like, just admit it. And I think as you explained, there are less nefarious negative reasons to have not wanted her around. And even if they're also kind of like, this is my territory reasons, it makes sense to me, you know? I just wish that she would own up to a little bit more of that piece.
Yeah, but unfortunately, she missed the window there, too.
Because right,
now that she's
right.
already denied it.
You're right.
If she then turns around and says it, they're going to be like, well, then what else is true that Shamia said? So now she does have to, she's backed herself in that corner. And I also think that she was just so angry about it. She wasn't going to give Shamia even an inch. So it
right.
was like, no,
yeah.
I'm not even going to give you the truth here. No.
Yeah, and honestly, like, the way that Portia dealt with this entire thing showed a lot of growth, I think, because in years past, it would have, I think, blown up in a much more mutual capacity. Portia didn't bite her tongue necessarily, but she held back, I think, energy and sort of, like, confrontationally, you know? She kind of let
yeah.
Shamia dig that grave. So, you know, obviously, the post about Shamia's mom comes up. You know, Shamia's like, my mom bought your mom's daycare. And then it goes to, your mom tried to sleep with my dad. She didn't mention it last year because she was trying to protect this friendship. The reaction from the other women is like shock. Like the looks on Drew's face in particular, she looks like she has been totally scandalized. It's like a total bomb drop. It is really.
Yeah. No, K. Michelle in that moment is like, don't do this.
They immediately recognize that she has gone so low. And it's like, oh, we
yeah.
don't go there on camera. We don't do that.
No. Because there's no coming back. Everyone knew in that moment, this is done. Like, I think that someone like Cynthia was thinking, you might not be back next season. When she heard that, like, that was like,
yep.
You could have just ended your housewife career by saying that. Because again, like, Portia is a big voice. And like you said, they built this sort of mini reboot around her. She's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't want you around, you could absolutely go somewhere.
But Portia hits back with, your mom slept with your father's brother while Portia's mom was dating him.
She said that Shamia's mom slept with Shamia's dad's brother.
Yes, while Portia's yeah. mom was dating him.
Is that? Oh, I missed that part.
I just rewatched the clip.
Yes.
And
oh.
and Phaedra has the great confessional moment where she's like, if you accuse my mom of trying to sleep with my uncle, I'm denying it. I'm not asking which brother, you know, I'm not asking
yes,
which
exactly.
one. That's where
wow.
Phaedra has.
Okay, I missed
Phaedra
the part where
the
Diane
best
was
role
dating
confessional. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Her confessionals are on it.
And as we'll get to in a second, it gets even more complicated here in terms of what we're accusing everybody of, who's sleeping with who. But this is a tangled web, Kiki.
Yeah. And this is obviously, again, something that both of them have been holding on to for probably 20 years, right?
Definitely.
Like, you know, these are grown women. And anytime I've had a situation where, you know, somebody was like holding on to something from the past that I didn't necessarily believe. But again, we knew this information for a long time. And so if you've been friends these past, even if it was the last 10 years, and you now are going, it's just not good, because it means you have been harboring this for so long while I thought we were good friends. And then it makes me right in why I haven't sent my kid around you,
because
you clearly haven't had good intentions.
Is there a world in which you would want to see the moms like say their piece, like either to their daughters or to each other? Like, because all of a sudden, like, they're super involved in this situation in a public facing way. Do you want to see that as a viewer? Do you think we should?
I mean, me, yes, but I love mess. Like, I don't know if that necessarily, I'm over here, like, give me everything about Lori and Jax. Like, I love mess.
Not Lori and Jax.
So, yes. But, you know, it's hard because they aren't, we don't know anything about them other than being the moms. And mm-hmm. so it is weird to introduce that element. And it does feel a little bit like, you know, they just, but yeah, I would.
Yeah.
If it was just a little part of the reunion, maybe. I know they've already filmed it, but, you know.
Right. The last point about what we saw in the episode is, you know, Shamia storms away. Kelly follows her. Portia says, like, her piece to the table about, you know, she really hasn't been trusting Shamia. To me, one of the most important things here is Cynthia really steps in. She's like, because Kay Michelle's saying Shamia has all these troubles with everyone in the group. I don't want her to feel like she's, you know, being ganged up on or iced out or whatever. And Cynthia's like, well, hasn't she done this all herself? And I think that when you lose Cynthia, who is, you know, this reinventing the friend of role, she's sort of the preeminent kind of bringer together of people, and she's lost her, I think that says everything to me.
Agreed, because Cynthia is the most balanced. She's friends with everyone. She's she doesn't really pick sides. She talks about fairness and, like, this is what makes sense and
right.
this doesn't. And yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
So Portia was catching up on the episodes in the Bahamas a day or two later. And this is, like, I bring this up obviously because it's important, but also because I think people see this and it's like, damn, we've already filmed the reunion. We can't talk about this at the reunion. People listening have probably already seen this, but I'm just going to read it out for just, you know, for drama's sake. Yo, I can't believe there are actually people talking about my mother and mentioning my daughter in a negative way. Was this really worth it? Shamia took this too far. You're not innocent while you've got people discussing my mom because of a lie you told on this show. If we're going to discuss it, keep it between us. Now let's discuss you, sleeping with your manager who's married to one of your high school friends, as well as a pastor in Decatur who's 100% on your roster, along with many more. Hashtag let's go. The tweet heard around the world. I don't know if Portia had tweeted in a year.
I know. That's the thing. Like, oh, God, with the tweet. I think it was still called Twitter the last time she tweeted. But yeah, I mean, this is the thing, too. Another reason why I would be scared to do a show with my day ones, as I refer to
totally.
Them. Is because let's say I did lose my mind and go there. Oh, the skeletons that they could bring out of my
Run
closet.
Down the list. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they both know so much about each other, each other's moms. They know all. And again, I don't know if this is stuff that Portia ever would have said publicly. I really believe that. And unfortunately for Shamia, listen, there's no evidence of any of this being true. But this is not the first time she's been accused of stepping out on her marriage, even just this season. You know, Angela brought some stuff, some claims up about her. Again, all unsubstantiated, but, like, that's a lot of people that people are accusing you of sleeping with, you know? And that's a really, it makes me worried about her marriage, to be honest. I'm just going to say that.
Yep, absolutely. And she should be worried, which is another reason I don't think we'll see her next season, because I think it's probably affecting her marriage. And, you know, I don't know much about her finances, but I have a feeling, like, the breadwinner is Gerald, right? Like, I don't know if she can live the lifestyle that she's living without him. So she needs to protect that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, look, I see it, because at the end of the day, these are two beautiful women who, you know, run in these circles of Atlanta. They're hot commodities. And I don't know if it was while they were single or while she was married, but I'm sure they had their hoeing days. We all did, right?
You know, we all did. Like,
and
we're still doing
and our hoeing days live with our girls. But that's
right.
Why you don't go there, because they might pull it out on you.
You want to talk about the husband? We're going to talk. You know, it's like you're just, we're going to go
talk
there.
Talk about the husband.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like for a while talking about Shamia and Portia, it like, I would be like, oh, this makes me so sad. And like, it does, but I'm kind of like over that feeling with it because I feel like it's like too far gone at this point and they shouldn't be friends anymore. You know, like they mm-hmm. both have gone the kind of tit for tat here and oof, but.
Yeah. They probably shouldn't have been friends for a long time. Like the reality is like maybe
right.
that friendship was done a long time ago and it only kept going because maybe Shamia wanted to be on the show and
right.
was preserving it for that.
Yeah, clearly. And she was clearly sitting on this sort of resentment and frustration about being the sidekick kind of person and not, and Portia being
yeah.
the star. And it's all coming out now. Damn. Again, it's a tough one, but I don't remember Atlanta being this part of like the conversation for a couple seasons here. And this feels like a really hot button topic. And so I'm, mm-hmm. it's kind of good to see it back in the conversation in this way, which it makes me happy for the show, not for them, for the
yeah.
show.
But aren't you also surprised? Because, you know, Andy came out of that reunion and, you know, posted on his stories and he said, you know,
like
we had
funny.
A key, like it was
right.
a great time. And I was like, you did? Like, because what we're seeing does not feel like it would have been a great time. But
it feels like maybe a reflection of just like how he loves a read off. He loves like when Angela's firing on all cylinders, you know, like, and maybe the Portia and Shamia thing is so too far gone to the point where like, I wonder if Portia doesn't even really need to like care or get emotional, too emotional about it, like in a reunion setting, because like she's over it. I think Shamia's not over it.
Yeah.
And that's sad, but.
No. And I think when Phaedra was on Watch What Happens Live and he was asking her, like, you know, who cried the most, I think she said Shamia. So, yeah.
And again, as Cynthia said, a lot of this is Shamia's own doing. And that's where it's like, if you're going to go there, you also have to defend it or apologize or like. You can't cower in response. You know, that this is Housewives. You got to buck up.
Yeah. And, you know, Kelly has really pigeonholed herself because Kelly needs the show. I mean, I think I just saw a headline alert come out about possible seizure of bank accounts with her. So she needs this paycheck. And aligning solely with Shamia, not a great idea.
No, I don't know if it's going to end well for Kelly and for the show either.
Yeah.
All right, let's move up the East Coast. I was going to say the city, but we're actually in Connecticut still. So, oh man. I mean, we kick off with Whitney continuing to double down on this single mom card comment. I mean, it's doubling, it's tripling. We're getting into the nannies of it all, who has help, who doesn't. And she ultimately gets to this point where she's arguing that her point is that everyone's scared of Lindsay, including herself. And that's why she's really going there. She's fighting on behalf of Yvonne, who she's like barely even friends with. What's your opinion on sort of how this all was playing out on the finale?
No, I think you hit it right there. It was like what she wanted to say was everyone was scared of Lindsay. But she, for some reason, kept pushing the single mom card. Like, don't go there. Don't go there. This is a weird mm-hmm. angle. If you want to just say that everyone is, you know, bowing down to Lindsay, then say that. But
right.
then this also leads me back to this conversation we just had about, like, does Whitney feel the only way she can make her stamp in this show is by taking down the Queen Bee? And it definitely was feeling that way. And then it sort of was confirmed for me when Whitney and Kenny were on Watch What Happens Live and he made a little bit of a comment about, like, oh, it's good for the storyline. I said, like, this is why you're going so hard at Lindsay, right?
Totally, totally. And it's like, it's following up the Minions comment from earlier in the season. And listen, I think Kenny's a great reality star. I think he's really good at this. I think that he is really promising for a future sort of run on this show. I don't think Whitney's as adept at it. And it kind of felt like he was almost sending Whitney in to face the wolf pack on her own. And that's not a fair fight, let's just say that. This was never going to end well for her, both because of the nature of her comment, but also just because of the matchup. It's not even. It's not an even matchup.
the matchup is not even. And what nobody could have calculated for was the amount of support Lindsay was going to have coming off of Summer House, because they didn't even know that at the time of filming. So like that on top of it, while watching it back, I'm sure Whitney is just like, oh my God, what did I do?
And I also feel like there is a fourth wall element of it too, where like, this is an ensemble show. It's a new show. It's a spinoff of Summer House. But like, there's probably a feeling in the air of like, Lindsay thinks it's her show and it's not. It's also our show. But like, she is the one that brought this whole thing together and made it happen. So I guess if I'm somebody else on the show, like, I probably sense that vibe. But do I act on it right away? Probably not. You know, it's like, it's, you got to settle in. You got to settle in.
No, this goes back to your long game comment. Like, people don't have... I just wonder if we've lost our ability to play the long game because of things like TikTok. Like, do we just not have the attention span to draw things out anymore? Mm-hmm. Everything, is so reactive. Like, just let it build. Grow the relationship. Let us get to know you as a person so that we can... I can't pick a side because I don't know you, Whitney.
Totally.
I'm going to just pick the side of the person I know all the time.
Also, her argument that she was fighting for Yvonne, and as it pertained to like the bedrooms, I'm like, I feel like you guys just met 2 days ago, and also like Yvonne is Lindsay's friend of 14 years. Like, I just, why are you the one to stick up for her in this situation? I don't really understand.
Yvonne wasn't even tripping that hard. I think, you know, like, you are going way harder for Yvonne than Yvonne's going for Yvonne.
Well, the whole situation became more about Kenny and Whitney versus Lindsay and Georgina. Like, Yvonne and Nick were sort of forgotten as, like, they're sort of pawns in this whole situation, I think. And I also was kind of shocked that they go to the apple picking place and Georgina's sticking up for Lindsay. And it's like, Whitney's having no regard for the fact that Georgina is also a single mom. And they're only really talking about Lindsay, but she's forgetting that, like, the reason why Georgina feels so deeply about this is because it, even though it wasn't made about her, it still impacts her because she has a similar journey to Lindsay.
Yeah, like, I just, like, I don't have children, but, like, most of my friends do. And a lot of them are single moms. Some of them have help. That does not mean they are not some of the most stressed out women because they're trying to have careers, they're trying to raise a family. Yeah. On top of the fact that, you know, as Georgina says in her final confessional, just being away from your kid 50% of the time, it just takes a toll on your emotional, mental, physical, everything well-being because you just love your kid. So it's like, yeah, that's, let's not talk about the nanny.
And also they're filming a TV show where they're away from their kids a lot. And that, finding help for that, and these schedules are like pretty like last minute. They're like, be here
last
tomorrow.
Minute, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's also part of this whole thing. And I thought that when they come back to the house and they're cooking dinner, you know, they're confronting Lindsay. There was a sort of microcosm of that sort of explained to me or demonstrated just how sort of out of her depth Whitney is in this matchup against Lindsay, because they're like, Lindsay, this is what you said. And Lindsay's like, no, this is what I said. And they give a flashback and it's word for word what she had said. And then Whitney's like, well, that's essentially what you said. My point is, Lindsay has an incredible recall. And I think that memory and remembering what you said, what other people said to you when you're on a reality show is so important. How many times have these things been drawn out in games of telephone where something's repeated differently or somebody is misremembering thing or you know, flipping your words? She can recall literally word for word what she had said. And I think that is just like such an underrated quality for on reality TV. Like, you have to remember what the actual quotes are.
Absolutely. No, like, you are so spot on. I've been literally thinking about, like, how can I, is there a class that I can take about being a better retailer of stories? Because I'll hear a story and then I'll try to retell it. And I'm like, I have to stop midway sometimes because I'm like, I can't even retell it. And you're so, like, recall is so important, you know, in the reality world. And exactly that, like, because they know them flashbacks are coming. Those editors
exactly.
go through all of it, play it back, and yes.
And there's nothing worse than being wrong in that moment, you know, to stand 10 toes down on, I said it this way, and actually, babe, no, you didn't. It's also funny because during this, Amanda and Danielle and Owen are out playing a puzzle, and they sort of, like, quasi bury the hatchet without actually having a conversation, because lest we forget, they share a best friend in this woman, Katie DeLuca, who has been on the show for, I think, 30 seconds total. I don't really understand what happened there, but good for them, I guess.
I was going to ask you, because I had a theory yesterday on my show about Katie DeLuca. I feel like, because I felt like we got a short season. Maybe it was always meant to be 9 episodes, maybe not. I feel like, obviously, Katie DeLuca is Amanda's best friend, and I feel like a lot of the scenes she might have done were around Kyle and that relationship, and it probably was just so dated that they probably couldn't even use it. That was my theory.
I think that's probably part of it, and I also, I don't know how well she did on camera. You know what I mean? And so I think that there's like, Lindsay and Amanda filmed a lot together. Like I feel like Lindsay was sort of that person for Amanda throughout a lot of In the City. And she wasn't even on the cast trip, which I think is telling.
I know. You weren't even at Friendsgiving. Like,
it's funny because on Threads, like, people are like so obsessed with her. Like, people bring her up like all the time on social media because it's like a way of dunking on Amanda, I guess. But like, it just kind of makes me chuckle. Gavin and Kenny bury the hatchet. I'm like, I'm not super invested in this. I feel like for me, my read on this was like, Gavin kept sort of poking at Kenny because when you do enter reality TV for the first time, I think the easiest target is the person you know the best and the person you're most comfortable with. And I feel like he sort of was almost like inadvertently, subconsciously doing that to Kenny. I believe they feel strongly about each other, but Gavin is certainly also a pop star. So
no, I have like many thoughts on Gavin. I like Gavin. I think he's a great addition. I think he stirs the pot perfectly. I also think that he is really good friends with Kenny. But because he's good friends with Kenny, I think Kenny is one of those type of guys that sometimes rubs you the wrong way. Like, let's be real. Like, he just... And so Gavin probably was like, oh, I know I can go at him on certain things. I also know Gavin is a business person and he is smart. And he has multiple bars that he needs to make profitable, which is very hard to do in New York City. And the way to do that is to get Lindsay Hubbard into that bar and make sure she's filming in that bar, having parties in that bar. So I'm going to side with Lindsay. I'm going to be friends with Lindsay, too. I'm going to take Lindsay's side and I'm going to do it. Come meet me at the bar and let's talk about how Kenny's so bad. He is smart. And at the end of the day, he's doing what he needs to do because, again, on Watch What Happens Live, when Kenny and Whitney were on the show, he talks about, well, Amanda and Wes, there were rumblings about there being sort of like inappropriate things happening. And Andy Push is like, well, how did you know? And he's like, well, it was Gavin who picked up on it. So the fact that Gavin, you know, because look, he's a busybody. He's not in a relationship. He's noticing things. And I like that. I'm a noticer. I like to sit in the corner and just look. And so I love that character.
No, I think so, too. I think that it's unusual for it to be a guy on these shows, you know, and I kind of like that it's a messy guy. You know, I think it's a good role that he can even lean into even more in a second season. Because like the first half, he was sort of a non-factor, but he really came alive, I think, midway through. Yeah. So that's kind of exciting. They have their Friendsgiving dinner and Whitney asking if there was dairy in the turkey.
Like, it was like, what, how, what, like, in what version is dairy in the turkey? What are you talking about?
I really don't know. And there's also the moment where Kenny's carving the turkey and Lindsay's like, I like dark meat. And he like has a nice, they have a nice little moment. And that to me is not another example of like, Lindsay and Kenny could also unlock like a longer term enemy, because I think that Lindsay respects quick Kenny is. He was very quick in them. Yeah. Like he thinks on his feet and he has a good way with words. So that's an exciting little spark for me, you know?
Yeah. I like that a lot. I also just want to point out, Danielle, love you. Don't ever buy boxed mashed potatoes or even mention buying boxed mashed potatoes. That I was like oh my God, how dare you? I know her mom had to be shrieking back in horror when she suggested box mash. Never get the worst mashed potato. It's the easiest dish, okay?
It's a very easy dish. And also, I was also laughing because after Lindsay and Whitney and Kenny sort of squashed their beef while they were cooking dinner still, like they're all slaving over the turkey and the stuffing and the hard dishes. Whitney's like, oh yeah, I was going to make a salad. I'm like, I know you didn't just come down here, rip me a new one, and then just say you're going to put some leaves in the bowl. You know?
Go drink your matcha.
Right, literally. I thought that the Lindsay-Danielle moment at this dinner was really sweet. I thought it was really sincere. Because ultimately with them, like, I do believe a lot of this, there's a lot of feeling there, and they've done and said a lot of things to each other over the years. But I do think that like when they're super down with each other and it's weird, it kind of brings like a cloud over the group that happened. I mean, their season of Summer House when they had their friendship fallout, I thought was like one of the worst recent seasons of Summer House that we've gotten.
Yeah.
And it's just better when they're not as negative with each other, I think. And I think that like, I believed every word that Lindsay said to Danielle. I believe every word that Danielle said to Lindsay. Glad that they were able to get to that place before the season came to an end.
And this is when the moments of you can tell who is a pro at doing reality is, because exactly that. She knew that this sort of thing carrying into another season is not good. She also knows that, you know, the Owen and Danielle thing is worthy of a storyline. So push it. But once it gets to a certain point, okay, we're not going to beat a dead horse. We got to move on to the next. And like, she understands the flow, and that's why she's a pro.
Yeah. And you know, I know that Danielle is controversial and she's been divisive in terms of an addition to the show. But I think that having her around has been really important for this first season. I think that she's also a pro at this. She's a little bit more, she can put her foot in her mouth a little bit more probably, but like she does get it. She was part of that dinner really opening up this season for Yvonne and Nick's dinner. And like, you know, I'm happy she's there. I've sort of landed firmly in that spot.
And I think because of the Amanda of it all, she's going to get a bit of a redemption, which I think is,
that's,
you know,
true.
Rightfully owed to her.
Yeah. So they leave. And the next morning, it's kind of weird between Amanda and Kyle. They're going back to separate apartments. This is the first time that Kyle says that, like, it feels like this is kind of it. And he says, this is the first time I felt this way. He admits that he provoked it and that Amanda made the first move in terms of really signaling this was the end of their relationship, and he probably never would have done it, or it would have taken him much longer. That was some accurate self-reflection from Kyle there. I that was a pretty self-aware assessment of what was going on, I thought.
Absolutely. I mean, what I gained from this was that Kyle was over it too.
Right.
He didn't really want to be in this marriage. He was doing it, but I feel like he was doing it out of just, could have been many reasons. Like, do we have to stick together for the brand of it all, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we are this couple on the show, you know, for the, you know, the fact that we did have this wedding and I don't want to be a failure in my marriage and my business. You know, there was many reasons, but I could just tell he was over it.
Yeah.
And again, for Amanda's sake, I just wish she had let that play out as it would have, because, you know, Kyle would not be where Kyle is and she would be in a different place, but it is what it is. And she actually gave him a new life.
she certainly did. And that leads us to this sort of epilogue. Because when they first played the pickup scene between Kyle and Amanda to kick off the season, I was a little bit underwhelmed by that scene at first. I was like, there was like no mention of West. We had like, there wasn't really anything new. It just sort of like was a scene setting thing. So I was really happy to learn that we had a lot more from this sit down. You know, Amanda's like, I didn't leave you for West. There was no cheating. She did lie to Kyle about it when it was first happening. And I always like when Kyle did this in the scene, when they acknowledge sort of like the viewer and fan factor of things and not wanting to let them down and sort of the impact of that. It's a fourth wall break thing that I think plays into a lot of their decisions. I think as we mentioned, even with Atlanta, like reading the comments and stuff like that, like, I'm glad that was acknowledged, basically, because that was part of it.
Yeah, no, it was a very real conversation. And because it was so real, that's why I was actually surprised by how forgiving Kyle was being in that conversation, which, again, makes me see, like, I think he wanted an out. She gave him the easiest way out, but, like, he also feels bad for her because he knows it would have ended naturally anyways, and she didn't have to do this to herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And she's saying how she doesn't want to leave her apartment because she doesn't want people to scream in her face. And she's nervous about, you know, just living her life. She wants normalcy. There was no affair. She acknowledges that it was fucked up in the friendship. But that's kind of all the acknowledgement we get about Sierra. It's a little bit obviously downplaying it. On the one hand, I actually do sympathize with the sort of going out into the real world amid this scandal sort of fear. But also, it's like, this is the bed that you made for yourself. And also, you and West at that time were going out to the most like highly public, like public Dumois, like center of the universe places where you're going to be spotted. And like, there were so many other ways for them to have gone out in public and not been spotted all the time and not, you know what I mean? Like, I get the feeling for sure, but also there are ways of doing it.
I had just even less empathy for Amanda after watching this scene, because it was like she barely acknowledged the Sierra of it all. You're not talking about an affair. We care. The friendship
exactly,
is why we are all
exactly.
angry. That is yes. why we were angry. And you are just sort of still blowing that off and then joking about how you and West and Kyle and Sally should go on a double date. And again, Kyle he's joking with you because he loves you, but you know, also it's just like he's going too easy on you, but you are still not really understanding. All that to say is, like, does that mean I don't want to see her on another season? No, I do. Because if her and West not interacting with the group, because that is not realistic, but if her and West are living their life on camera and they're filming it, am I going to watch? Sure am, because I love mess and I want to see if they're even still together. And I want to see how bad the relationship is, because I think it's bad. And I think we're going to see the cracks fall apart. And do I want to see that fall apart? Sure. I'm evil.
I don't disagree with you. I don't really understand the camp of people that say, I won't watch the show if Amanda's on it. Isn't this what reality TV is all about, which is continuing to follow these threads? And she's been part of this show before. And I also think if you're them, if you're Wes and Amanda, don't you want to convince people that what you have is great and worth giving all this up for, you know? And like, if there is an opportunity for Amanda to be on In the City again, and she's still with Wes, and so, you know, you show your life on a show, so obviously you're going to show the person you're dating, especially if they're a reality star, so he'd be on it as well. That's an opportunity for them. And I don't know if they will convince us. I don't know why you wouldn't try, you know? Like,
yeah. You might as well. And like, the thing is, like, when you go through like a public canceling, as maybe I kind of went through something similar, when people come at you and like all this hate in the beginning, you are overwhelmed. You can't open your phone. You can't open apps. And like, but then after a while, you just start laughing about it and you start being like, God, are they not talking about me? Let me say something today so people will talk about me more. You don't care anymore because you're like, what's the worst? You've done
totally.
The worst.
You've already done the worst. Like, yeah. Yeah.
So you might as well just move on. Nothing more can be said that can, you know, make it any worse.
You might as well take a trip to your local grocery store, put some pickles and ice cream in a cart and play into the rumors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, the thing that there are ways in which they could have just handled this whole thing better. And like, obviously, but like the things they choose to weigh in on and respond to and just like the ways they do it. I mean, it reminded me of when people knew that she had moved out of their apartment, her and Kyle. And then she did that whole little video in Gemma's playhouse at Lindsay's apartment, you know, and she like played into it in like a way, but it's like, but that was true at the time. So like, I don't really, they have an interesting way of addressing these things, these two.
Yeah, you know, I think they're not firing all, you know, I think they're
certainly not. No, and they're in a little love bubble. And I also, right before I hopped on with you, I saw Whitney did an interview with Page Six and they were asked about Amanda potentially coming back to the show. And she was fairly sympathetic and it got me thinking. I'm like, okay, in a season two of In the City, I can picture Whitney and Kenny basically being the allies for Amanda and West, because that's an easy first. I mean, Amanda will take any friend she can get. Whitney has no friends in this group. They pair off. Kenny like wants to be unpopular and he wants to make a statement. He wants to also be against Lindsay. That kind of creates a total dichotomy in the group. That also creates potentially a drama between Kenny and Kyle, who are supposed to be friends. I could see it happening. I could.
It would be a smart move for us to watch. I guess they, as long as they're willing to take the wrath that comes along being besties with them, I guess power to them. Because I don't know if I could attach myself to that.
I certainly couldn't. But I'm just like, if you want to prove that you're in it for the long haul, maybe that's the way to do it. And I also think that In the City, you know, I liked this first season, but I think it kind of had the shadow of the Summer House scandal over it for a while. I think there are parts of it that don't work yet. The bones are there. So it kind of, I think in the second season, it needs sort of like a heftier something going on. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I think the potential's obviously there.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting because obviously, you know, they started filming, you know, after Summer House last season. And I don't know, my assumption was always that they had planned to transition, you know, Kyle and Lindsay into this new show. And they maybe could have been filming both at the same time. But now that, you know, Lindsay and Kyle really have to hold down Summer House, they really can't pick up filming again until, you know, after Labor Day. So, you know, we have a while to even get there before they even, you know.
Yeah. And I'm sure the network's biding their time and they're going to see if they're even still together by that point.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll see.
Kiki, there's a lot going on, and I appreciate you breaking it all down with me. Reality Checked, how many days a week of that? Do the plugs before we sign off.
Yeah, SiriusXM Radio Andy, Monday through Friday, Dorinda and I, every day, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Power Duo, and obviously at The Talk of Shame on Instagram, you cover all the things, and it's you keep me informed, and I appreciate your work.
The news you're nosy about, yes.
Love it. Kiki, thank you so much. And hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.